1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a Bible teaching church. Now, we don't worship the Bible here. We worship the God who penned the Bible. But we believe that God's will is revealed to us in the pages of this book. And so we study the Bible. And we study it the way it's written, which is word by word and verse by verse and paragraph by paragraph and book by book. And we've come to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9, and I'm going to read down through verse 15, verses 9 through 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you a little moment to find that place. That's why they put indexes in Bibles, by the way, so you can find the book. It's okay, it's not a sin to look at the index and find that particular book, and it's not an embarrassing thing. It's more important that you find it. Beginning in verse 9, Paul writes, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." May God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. Why do we come to church? What is our secret motivation for serving the Lord? Why are we here this morning? Do we have as our secret motivation to be seen by men, to be well respected in the community, maybe to be well respected in the church among fellow church members? This morning, I want the message to test our motives, to test those secret motives of the heart, because one day those secret motives among those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior is going to be tested. Now, I want us to know at the outset of the message that Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has already borne on the cross of Calvary our sin debt before God. He paid for all of our sin, and he has given to us, as a result of our faith in him, eternal life, not probationary life, not life until we sin again or life until we mess up in some way. We have eternal life. That's not the issue here. The issue that we're talking about today is our works. One day we're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done, starting the moment we become a believer in Jesus Christ and ending the day that we go to be with him. So let's have prayer together and begin our study. Father, would you open to our mind the truth of your word, and may it be clear to us and understandable. And Father, would you give me the rare privilege to magnify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify him, so that he might be clearly seen this morning. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul continues the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We started last week. He says, "For we," now the "we" here, you might want to circle that. Speaking of Paul and Apollos and Cephas, he says, "We are God's fellow workers." And then he changes pronouns. Look at this. He says, "You," now circle that, "you," speaking of the Corinthians and us, "are God's field." And notice he continues, you are God's building. Believers here are pictured, the church is pictured as God's field. Field needs to be cultivated in order to become productive. That's why we're taught the word. That's why we're challenged in Scripture to be equipped. And then he calls us a building. You are God's building. Now, a building needs to be built on a firm foundation, and it needs to be built out of some good, strong building materials. So the apostles were sent to us to begin to build a foundation of the church, begin to equip the church, challenge the church, teach the church in order for it to become a very strong building. And then he continues in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me. Well, he continues there, as a wise master builder. Paul didn't earn the right to be an apostle. God chose him for that task. God placed Paul into the ministry, and he equipped him to perform his ministry. He says, the grace of God, which was given to me. Grace is always said to come from God. Grace originates with God. God calls us to himself and gives us life. And then he calls himself a wise master builder. And he tells us why here. He says, I have laid the foundation. Now, he laid the foundation when he began to preach the gospel. Remember, he went into Asia Minor and established all those churches, the church here at Corinth and the church at Philippi at Ephesus. From there, he wrote his 13 letters. He was thrown into prison. But he laid the foundation for the church. It was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He says, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Now, that's a reference to Apollos, those who came after the Apostle Paul to minister to the churches, and also Cephas would be included in that group and the others. But then he says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now, speaking of us, those of us who live today, we're still building upon the foundation laid for us by the apostles. We're still, God is still building, the Lord Jesus Christ is still building His church. He's still equipping His church, and He is still putting it together. He has equipped us. He says, let each one of us take heed. Notice those words. Be careful how we build on it. He has given us what I call divine operating assets. We have been given gifts. Those gifts include the gift of faith, maybe, or the gift of administration or teaching, mercy or evangelism or giving or shepherding. These are all gifts given to us to help build the church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And then he says this. This is an amazing truth. He says, verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This whole complex, this whole the whole of the church is built upon the strong bedrock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, including the apostles. We're all built upon Him. And in particular, we built upon His identity, who He is. He says of Himself that He is equal with the Father in John chapter 10. That He is eternal like the Father. He is co-eternal with the Father. He said, before Abraham came to be, I existed. And He is coexistent with the Father. Remember, He told Philip, those who have seen Me have seen the Father. He is God manifest in human flesh. His identity, He is truly God. And He's also the God-man. He took on flesh in order to die on the cross, to perform His work. And the value of His work, the value of His cross work, is based upon the identity of the one who died there. Why can we put confidence in Christ's words, tetelestai, it is finished, when He died on the cross of Calvary? Because of the one who died there. He was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a man. He was more than just a great teacher. He was more than just a human being. He was the Lamb of God. He was the perfect Lamb of God who knew no sin, and yet God permitted Him to become sin for us. He offered His Son to become sin for us. So that's the foundation upon which we are to build, that bedrock foundation of Jesus Christ. And then he starts in verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now he's talking, he mentions six building materials here, and he's emphasizing the quality of the building materials. They descend in quality. They start out with gold, and then down to silver, and then precious stones. I'd always thought about precious stones as being diamonds, but I don't think that's what Paul had in mind here. Precious stones to the ancient church, to the early church, to the ancient world, would be strong building materials like granite and marble, making a strong foundation. Peter mentioned that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, talking about Jesus Christ as the precious cornerstone. He is the precious cornerstone. He's a tremendous foundation upon which we build. So the precious stones here, again, marble, granite, this would be precious stones. Wood, some value, but not a lot. Hay, well, not much value at all. And then straw, really no value. But he's talking about here our building materials, what we build upon the body of Christ, upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the church, the quality of the building materials that we have. Why would he mention that? Because of verse 13. He says, each one's work. Now notice he says work here. Circle that if you have a pen or a pencil. He's not talking about sin. As we said at the outset, sin is not the issue here. Our sin was paid for at Calvary. The entire debt was paid. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied forever God's just demands against our sin. He paid that debt. He died the debt that we owed to God. So we're talking about our work here. We're saved to serve. We're saved to work. We're saved to perform a work of faith. In other words, this is why we come to church. We come to church to be equipped to serve, to build upon the foundation, to build upon that the church, to continue the ministry of the church. Each one's work, this is involving our secret motivations for our work also, what we do, how we're gifted, how we carry out our spiritual gifts. Each one's work, how we build on the foundation, will become clear. One day it will be manifest. It will be known. And then he says, for the day. Notice the day here is with a capital D. He's talking about a special day. He's talking about a day that if we flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 10, do that just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 10. Well, look at verse 9. Let's get a context. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. That's our secret motivation. We want to be pleasing to the one who bought us with His precious blood. Verse 10. For we must all appear, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that day is the day we're talking about in 1 Corinthians. That day. That day that we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and this is talking about the Bema seat. And the Bema is speaking of that judgment that took place after games that were held back in the ancient world. When the athletes were rewarded for their activity, they went before the rewarding stand, the Bema. And there they received many times a wreath, certain kinds of wreaths for if they had won the race, they received various rewards. And we will all appear, he makes the analogy here, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards or a loss of rewards for how we spent the spiritual gifts that God has given us, the divine operating assets. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now look over to Romans 14. It talks about the same thing. In Romans chapter 14, look at verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? Why do you count your brother a big zero? Why do you make judgment calls on your brother's performance in the body of Christ? I've often said this, we're umpires at heart. We like to call balls and strikes on other people. We like to make judgment calls on other people. And we have a tendency to do that, to question their motivation. But he says, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's that day again. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now that's talking about the day here back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the judgment seat of Christ. And it will be a time of receiving reward or losing reward. He says, for the day, let's continue, will declare it. It will make it known. That day will make known all the secrets of our heart, all of the motivations of why we have done what we've done in the body of Christ throughout our life. And then it says, because it will be revealed by fire. Fire will consume some of these building materials that I mentioned that some of them are combustible and some of them are not. Some of them will pass through the flame unharmed and others will be burned. The gold, silver, precious stone obviously will come through the fire. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned. So he's making this illustration that we're going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ to determine the motives for what we have done, the quality as well as the quantity of our work, what we have done for him. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. It'll test our building materials of what kind it is, combustible or not combustible. Obviously, we're shooting for having the right mental attitude when we are serving in the body of Christ, impressing the one who bought us with his precious blood, doing it solely for him. If we're teaching Sunday school, we do it for him. If we're a deacon, we're doing that ministry for the one who bought us. We come with the right motivations of the heart. We serve the Lord with the right motivations. That's gold, silver, precious stone. The wood, hay, and stubble, that's selfish motivation, that's fleshly activity. We're doing it for the praise of men. That will be put in that category, the wood, hay, and the stubble. It will be revealed by fire. And the fire, it says, let's continue, will test each man's work of what sort it is. Was it genuine? Was it highly rewarded like the gold? Or maybe less rewarded like the silver? Still genuine, but less reward. Or the precious stone, again, less than the silver. But maybe there's some quality to the wood. Wood can be made to look good. And the hay and the straw. But usually that can be consumed quickly and will not produce much reward. But in verse 14, it says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, that is the flame, it comes through the flame, it comes through the judgment seat. The judge looked into the thoughts of the person being judged. He can do that. God's word can test the motives of our heart. The Lord Jesus Christ will test our motivations. And he says he will receive a reward. Again, this is a rewarding stand. Our sin is not in view. In fact, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 5. These are very penetrating words. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Now that's those hidden thoughts, those motivations of the heart, those secret motivations of the heart. Remember, Paul has already taught us, he says, what man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man within the man? We don't know each other's thoughts. Well, God does. And one day every thought, every word, every idle word, every action will be judged by the one who knows all the facts. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And reveal the counsels of the hearts. That is, that's that secret motivation. And then it says, though, right here, look at the last line. That's what I want you to see. Then each one's praise will come from whom? Yeah, from God. Each one's praise will come from God. That is, we will all receive praise at the judgment seat of Christ. But it will not be one size fits all. Some will receive less praise. Some will receive less reward. Others will receive more reward. And that reward will be placed on display one day when we cast those crowns at the feet of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Beautiful picture of our casting our crowns, the church, the elders, the 24 elders casting our crowns before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's good to win those crowns. Because one day, It will show, it will give a visible expression of our true, sincere commitment to Him, our love for Him. One day it will all come to light. So if anyone's work which he has built upon it endures, he will receive a reward. And then it says, look in verse 15. Now I love this. Because what about those who had this insincere motives? We really did what we could judge the secret motives of our heart. They wouldn't have been pure. You know, maybe I've been teaching all these years to receive the praise of men for my clarity of speech and my ability to communicate God's word, and maybe trying to impress an audience or try to build a ministry numerically or financially. And maybe my motives are very insincere. Well, if that's the case, well, what about you? What if that's the case with you? What if you, everything you've done, what if all the Sunday school teaching, all the you deacons who have performed a ministry, those of you who have taught in discipleship training, those of you who have served the Lord in the body of Christ for years, what if you had impure motives? What if your motives were skewed? He says this. He says, if anyone's work is burned, that's all burned up. It's all wood, hay, and stubble. It says, he will suffer loss. Notice that, loss. But that loss is not hell. It says, but he himself will be, what is it? Saved, yet so as through fire. We may come out at the end of the judgment seat of Christ smelling like smoke. We are still a born-again child of the living God. We will spend eternity in His presence. We will be happy. We may end up in the kingdom as a street sweeper, a garbage collector, but we will be very, very happy garbage collectors, extremely happy garbage collectors, extremely happy street sweepers. But I'd rather serve and rule and reign with Him over cities. How about you? I would rather be there. So, God the Lord Jesus, will one day judge the secrets of our heart at the judgment seat of Christ, the secret motivations of our heart for why we have done what we've done. It's my prayer that we serve Him with a single mind toward Him, toward humiliated under Him, serving Him, living for Him, worshiping Him, coming to church with that divine mental attitude toward Him, and equipping the saints, displaying our ministry to the saints, displaying our giftedness to the saints, ministering to each other with a heart of humility before the Lord Jesus Christ, doing it as unto Him. And because it's true that one day all of that is going to be known. One day the secret motives of our heart are going to be known. And if you forget everything else I said, let's end this message in Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 12 and 13. Very powerful words. Notice these words, if you have a red letter edition, they're written in red. That means they're spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that His words are no more inspired than the words of the Apostle Paul or Peter or James or John or Matthew or Moses in the Old Testament or any of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, inspired of God, all God breathed. But I know this to be a fact. For some reason, when I read the words in red, I pay closer attention to them because they came from the lips of my Savior. Even though they may not be more inspired than the other portions of Scripture, I know that when I'm in the hospital and I'm visiting an elderly saint who's suffering and been through a lot, they love to hear me read the words of Jesus Christ or pray the words of Jesus Christ. And I try to do that. That comforts. That gets to their heart, that the words go home where they need to be, right there. Very powerful words. But listen to His words as we close this particular section of God's Word. It says, and behold, I am coming quickly. And notice this now carefully. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Our secret motivations are going to be one day rewarded, or we're going to lose reward based upon the secret motivations of our heart, based upon the fact that we have earned rewards equal to gold, silver, and precious stones, or maybe wood, hay, and stubble. What about you? How are you going to come out? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its clarity. Thank you for the pen of the Apostle Paul that wrote this centuries ago, and yet it still speaks to us today. It still challenges us to want to live that life that's pleasing to you, to have a sincere motivations for what we do, to have sincere good thoughts focused upon you when we serve you in the body of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that today, whatever has been accomplished through the teaching of this portion of God's Word, would magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, would glorify Him, because that's what we're all about here. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.